Before we hear the gospel for today, you might want to review for a moment the first reading from 2 Kings. Remember, it's the story of Naaman, the army commander of the Syrians. The Syrians were Israel's enemies. Well, Naaman had leprosy, so he hears about Elisha, the prophet, back in Israel, the great prophet's healing powers. And so he goes to the prophet for healing from his leprosy. The prophet directs him to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, and at first Naaman is taken aback. The Jordan, in comparison, he says, to the great rivers back where he comes from, the Jordan is a puny river. But he goes ahead with it at the suggestion of his servants, and sure enough, after bathing 7 times in the Jordan, he's cleansed. And this is the gospel from Luke 4, 24 to 30. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. For those of us who travel a lot, as I do, you get to know the most convenient and economical ways to get around different cities. Especially when you're arriving at an airport and have to get into the town, or you're in town and you have to return to the airport. Getting to and from airports in New York, where I grew up, and visit family and preach, getting to the airports there can be a hassle and can be very expensive. For example, public transportation to Kennedy, if you live in Brooklyn, where my family does. Public transportation doesn't exist. And taxis are just too expensive. So the locals call car service. Car service is like a private taxi service. People who own cars are dispatched to your house. They pick you up and they take you where you want to go for a price. The cars are usually battered and worn down. But they get you there, and they save you money. On one recent trip to Kennedy, I heard the story of Naaman the leper, but in modern dress. Actually, it was modern and rather gruff dress. The car service came to the house and was in the car for a while with the driver. I'll call him Al. He was a big guy. Wore one of those insulated vests over a sweatshirt. He had 3 days' growth of beard. We put the suitcase in the trunk, had to squeeze the suitcase in, actually, because the trunk had old tires in it. And off we were to Kennedy. As we drove along, what caught my eye were the 2 or 3 crucifixes and religious medals that were hanging from his rearview mirror. So I said to him, "You like crucifixes?" And then Big Al turned real soft. He says, "Yeah," he said, "my customers know me, and they know I like crucifixes and religious medals, and so some of the regulars give me them." He caressed one in particular. He said, "I especially like this one. I bought this cross for myself. He's my unknown friend." He says, "You know, as I look back on my life, I can see he guided me, even when I didn't know it." And so for the next 30 minutes of the flight, Big Al described his life, a rough life. He says, I wasn't baptized, he said, and I wasn't religious, but my wife died at childbirth, and I had two sons to raise. So he said, and he began to describe his tentative approaches at prayer. He said, I started to pray little by little, and little by little I changed my ways. First, he says, I gave up drink. He said, then I got serious about work because I had these two kids to raise. And then he says, as time went on, I started reading the Bible. I never did that before. I love Paul, he says, those letters. When I've had a long day at work, driving all over the city, I love to go home and read one of the letters of Paul. Anyway, he said, I visited a church once, he said. First time I went, I just sat at the steps of the church because I was too shy to go in. Later, he said, I went in and I saw the crucifix. I was talking to a nun about Jesus' death. She came up to me in the church and we started chatting. And then I realized, as I look back on the 29 years of my life, he said, I realized I had been guided by an unknown friend. And as tough as things got, somehow someone gave me strength. So when Sister explained the cross to me in the church that day and God's love for me, I knew who had been watching over me, that my unknown friend was Jesus. He says, so now I'm in the RCIA program at my church, and at Easter I'm going to be baptized. I can't wait. Finally, he asked me a question, because by now he knew I was a priest. Can I ask you a question, he said. What do I do next after I get baptized? He had described the journey of his life in broad strokes, step by step, that took him to major changes, finding Christ. And he knew that the journey had more to go, hence his question, what do I do next? I was thinking in Lent, isn't that a great prayer for us, or at Mass today? What do I do next? All of us are in our situation in one way or another. We're in process. What do I do next? The people of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth were looking to Jesus to perform some spectacular sign that would reassure them and be proof positive that he was from God. Do something big, instantaneous, so we can see big changes and wonders in our lives. And then we'll believe in you. I'm tempted to ask that too, especially an urgent need. It's when something's really important for me and I'm impatient and pray for quick results. And when I don't get them, I ask, where are you, Jesus? What's taking so long? Maybe I'm not praying properly, or maybe I'm not good enough or worthy to be heard. In the gospel today, Jesus points to that surprising person of faith, Naaman the Syrian. It must have shocked his hearers to hear this Naaman used as an example. After all, the Syrians were conquerors of Israel. These people at first expected a powerful God to work in powerful signs for them, and that's kind of what Naaman expected too, something spectacular that he had to do to get cured. What a surprise it must have been to Naaman, this powerful man from a powerful nation with great military might. What a surprise it must have been for him to hear from this Israelite girl who tells his wife that back in her homeland of Israel, there is a prophet who can cure this great military leader. Back in Israel, a cure for this big Naaman? This conquered nation of Israel with an insignificant prophet, with a small river, could that be the place that Naaman gets cured? Well, he goes there and he does get cured after 7 trips to the water. 7 trips into the water. It sounded to me like Big Al, who took small steps over a period of time and saw sure of a gradual change and improvement in his life. It requires faith in small daily things. Trust that God is at work in our lives. I think that's what the story of the gospel and of Naaman tells me today. What can we do to continue the healing process and the journey towards wholeness in our lives? Well, we could see and invite into our daily lives the active and present God and look for that God in the daily things over a period of time. God who works at an imperceptible pace. Lent might be a good time to surrender to this way of God's acting. God acts in ways that seem to contradict our ways of measuring, our sense of values, what we would call efficient and impressive. Might not be the places where God is working. So let's go along with this God and maybe slow our pace down a bit. Maybe examine our lives and make an attempt not to pile up as many material goods as we do. They're not really the signs of our success, are they? Find some quiet activities, a meal with a friend, a game with a child, a day not measured by how much we got done. Do some simple rituals in our lives. Light a candle and be quiet for a while. Eat a piece of bread slowly. Pause to gaze out at the world around us and see what we've been missing. Naaman would have said of these suggestions that they're nothing, they're insignificant. But then he learned that God heals and cleanses and works in simple ways, in the daily routine of our lives, in the repetitious actions. That's how it is for us at this Eucharist today. Those of us who are at Mass hear a simple story from Scripture. We eat bread and wine. God comes to us through the Word of God, through the Eucharist, and through one another, faithful believers surrounding us. And we trust this day that God will continue a work that God has begun in us.